From Capital Broadcasting Company and WRAL.com, this is The Wrap at NC Capital.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Thursday edition of The Wrap. I'm Laura Leslie, WRAL Capital Bureau Chief.
I'm Travis Swain, WRAL State House Reporter.
Wrapping up a pretty eventful week around here. House and Senate today, well, yesterday they rolled out the budget, the idea of giving people an income tax rebate this year. Today we actually saw that bill in its first committee over in the Senate where it passed. It looked like largely on party lines. You were there.
Well, there was barely anybody there to vote for it. The meeting was delayed a little bit so they could get a quorum. Senator McKissick asked some kind of perfunctory questions, putting up that Democratic opposition. But yeah, then it moved forward. And then the raises for corrections officers moved forward in another committee. They're going to try to piecemeal the budget, and they're going to try to force the governor's hand on that and on this refund to taxpayers, like $680 million, $660 something million.
Give
that is
take.
Actually the
yeah.
refund, and then it costs $5.5 million to do it, and then there's some other money in there as well that it's not particularly relevant.
Well, we asked Governor Cooper today. He was holding a Medicaid expansion roundtable event at his mansion today, one of many that they've had to try to increase public awareness of this. And we talked to him today and asked him, would you veto the bill? Would you veto the rebates bill? And he didn't answer the question. He never does. I mean, governors usually don't answer that question. But he did say he thought that money would be better spent invested in education or teacher pay. And he said he feels like it sounds like a gimmick, and that's the same thing Floyd McKissick said today.
Yeah, and McKissick went a little further, saying, this is probably going to be vetoed. We'll see. I mean, it's tough to take that money out of people's people's mailbox, I guess.
Well, I don't know. Floyd McKissick had I guess opinion on this or prediction on this is that this is a way to basically get the governor to veto a bunch of popular things coming into a gubernatorial campaign next year. Of course, we know Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest officially entered that race last weekend. They say this will be a way to make Cooper either go along with what they want or veto teacher spending, veto tax rebates, veto a bunch of stuff. I mean, the political ads write themselves.
Correctional officer raises.
State employee raises.
We heard some testimony today and then confirmed it. Over at Craggy Correctional in Asheville, they had four officers where the warden kept telling them, look, guys, the raise is coming. The budget is about to pass. You're going to get raises. And then the veto hits, and they left. They went to go work for Buckingham County Jail, which pays $6,000 more a year. Now, I guarantee you that's not the only story like that out there, and you're going to start hearing these things bubble up, and it's going to be used against the governor.
That's true, but I mean, I think we'll also probably hear folks talking about the fact that the raises will be retroactive.
Sure.
So, it's not for teachers and state employees. Of course, I've heard some, from other folks who are pushing for the money to be spent on other things. I know we're going to be looking at that some over the next few days. One of the things that I heard a little bit about was an email from a retiree. The current budget that they sent the governor would have half of 1% bonus per year. Right. I mean, they haven't had a cost of living increase or adjustment in the pension, the retirees fund for years at this point. And this person was like, why is nobody talking about this? And that's a valid question. I mean, you're looking at handing $680 million back, but your retirees have not had a cost of living increase of any size in, say, a decade. That's
important to remember, of course, that this is one time money.
Right.
This is not something that we can depend on to have in the budget going forward, particularly since people, seem to be predicting a recession. No one has that crystal ball fully worked out.
And we asked yesterday whether or not this money should be better tucked into a rainy day fund for exactly that kind of thing. But Senator Berger and House Speaker Tim Moore said they feel like they've done plenty on the rainy day fund.
There's $1.3 billion in the rainy day fund as we speak. If the budget that has been vetoed were to go into effect, that would put $700 million more. So you'd be up around $2 billion. Now, there might be some tinkering in there because, let's not forget that some of the $900 million surplus we've been talking about was already accounted for in the previous budget.
Right.
So it's a surplus of over collection, but it's not a surplus, at least the full amount is not a surplus relative to the new budget that's in limbo because it was vetoed, if that all makes sense.
Well, we, of course, will continue to follow this. That's going to be in House, sorry, Senate rules on Monday.
And I don't want to forget one other thing about this. So when these checks go out, there's some language in the bill that says, oh, and by the way, when the checks go out from the Department of Revenue, they're the ones that handle this. Department of Revenue does all the work. But the treasurer, Dale Folwell, Republican, up for re-election next year, he would send a note explaining the refund to everybody. So that's kind of a nice little something for the treasurer to get to do that. Ooh. I suspect as people notice that in the bill, it's going to be a little bit controversial. Senator Berger's office saying, well, hey, look, somebody, you know, somebody has to explain this to people, and, you know, he's the treasurer. So, but I did confirm with the treasurer's office that would literally be all they'd do if this whole rigmarole of the refunds going out.
The treasurer's office is different from the state revenue.
So, Yep.
It would be the state comptroller who would probably, one would expect, would be explaining this, but apparently not, because that would be the Cooper administration, and we don't want to do that going into an election year, do we?
I think that there's some concern about what the Cooper administration might say if they wrote that letter.
Also going on today, well, not a whole lot, actually. There were a few bills in a Senate committee this morning. Another one of the ones that was in there is the Rural Hospital Emergency Fund bill. You might remember the Senate sent that to the House. The House sent it back loaded up with a bunch of goodies like local tax options and et cetera. Senator Berger today rolling out another new clean version of the Rural Hospital Emergency Fund, saying we really think this should be by itself, so we're going to send it back to the House in this other vehicle. So that, you know, and nothing new in that as far as it sounded like.
Yeah, just kind of the continuation of what will continue to be that ping pong match on that bill. The governor vetoed a bill today, vetoed the billboards bill. This deals with, you know, where and how you can build back a billboard if it has to be taken down for a road project. The billboard folks pretty upset over the veto. Sierra Club happy about it. You know, there's some vegetation that gets cut down when this happens.
I know there was concern too over digital versus old-fashioned, because there are some, you know, in some places, especially if, like, if you've been to Atlanta lately, you know, digital billboards are everywhere with the bright lights and whatever, and I think the bill would have curtailed local government's ability to tell these companies as they are putting up their new billboard somewhere else that it can't be one of those.
There always seems to be concern about how you write that language to properly describe an electronic billboard. It always seems like they can't quite all agree what the definitions mean and what the words mean. So it seems like there's always a sticking point when it comes to anything that could increase the number of electronic billboards in the state.
Anyway, wasn't necessarily expecting that veto, but why not, right? It's number 34 of his tenure, which is one more than months that he's been in office. Stockpiling, perhaps, for the fall. also today, did you want anything else legislative you wanted to mention?
I'll mention very quickly that Gary Salamito, who was kind of the chamber's lobbyist for a long time lobbyist, and more recently
here,
the CEO, now the president of the chamber. He'll replace Lou Ebert. That was announced today. So that's a kind of ancillary to the legislature, but important for those folks.
Sorry about that. Also today, NCDOT announcing that it has reached an agreement with environmentalist groups who had sued to stop 540 from being completed, because I think there was an endangered dwarf wedge mussel.
There were a number of aquatic life forms, I believe, including a mussel of some kind.
Right, and so apparently they have come to some kind of agreement where the environmental groups, where the DOT has figured out a way to both protect the endangered species and build the road. So for those of us who live in the southeastern part of town who would really, really love to see 540 finished, this is good news.
Should be completed sometime during our lives.
Maybe so. Okay, speaking of long-awaited things, election voting machines. We should have a decision tomorrow on those. We've got the second meeting of the State Elections Board with its new chairman, Davis Acosta.
With its fourth chairman of the last 6 or 8 months, I think.
They're going to be looking at and making decisions on those voting machines for the upcoming elections. There were, I think, three candidates. Two of them produce a ballot that the voter can verify visually. One produces a ballot that is a barcode.
It's a barcode, and it says in written words who you voted for, but the barcode is the vote. That's a concern for a number of activists. And we should say that this is not necessarily regardless of how many of these machines they approve, not necessarily going to change how you vote. There's other equipment that's already out there. It's up to counties to decide what to buy. This is to certify new equipment, and there are these three companies that want it.
So that is tomorrow. Also, we heard that El Centro Español is having a press conference tomorrow as well about the veto of the ICE bill yesterday by Governor Roy Cooper. So I suspect we'll be following that as well.
Yeah, and that's kind of like a thank you press conference is the way I read that that press release. So
that is about it for us today. And we will probably not be here tomorrow, but we will catch you next week on The Wrap.
This podcast is a production of WRAL.com, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. If you like the show, we'd appreciate you giving us a review and sharing it with your friends. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your favorite listening app.